This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
News about a world first for audio description now here on RNIB Connect Radio as on Wednesday the 24th of January 2024. Not only did over 80 young people attend the audio described performance of Roald Dahl's The Witches at the National Theatre in London, but 12-year-old Eleanor edited and delivered the live audio description script too. I'm delighted to say that not only am I joined now by Eleanor, but also the National Theatre's Head of Access, David Bellwood, to find out more about this world first for audio description. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Eleanor and David.
Hi.
Hello.
David, I am sure that listeners are aware of the National Theatre's access offer for blind and partially sighted people, having listened to probably many of our regular interviews that we do highlighting upcoming described performances at the National Theatre. And I know many theatres like the NT are providing great access and also looking at developments of audio description too. Was it an obvious choice for the National Theatre to invite Eleanor to edit and deliver the live audio description for The Witches?
Yeah, I mean, it became one very quickly. And I think what's interesting is the processes that we went through to get to where we are. So The Witches was in development for nearly 6 years. And discussion starts relatively early about what the access provision might look like on any production. But with 6 years, that precedes my time at the National Theatre and means that, you know, conversations already started. For me, and I think in conversations with the producer and the creative team, something that I was really clear to get across to the creatives was the idea of audio description often being sort of a prism where decisions are made about what information is given and what information we open up to VI audiences, and that there is something in an adult watching a play and making those decisions, but it's something quite different when a young person does it. And this all stems from historic work. I worked on a production, a retelling of Cymbeline, and it was told in the modern day, and we had quite a few young VI people in the audience, not 80, but quite a few. And when it came to the audio description, they were really interested in the trainers that were being worn by the different characters, because they're such a status symbol in certain parts of youth culture. I learned a lot about trainers. I think the whole team did at that point. And coming onto The Witches, when, you know, the story very much is centered on two different age groups. So you've got Luke, who's 10 and a half, and you've got his grandmother, whose age is undisclosed, quite forcefully undisclosed in the play. But the question there is, if we keep on examining this play, scrutinizing this play as an access team through the eyes of adults, are we going to miss parts that are actually far more significant to younger audience? So the prism of age was the sort of first one that we really talked about. So it's the initial conversations were about how we're going to find some young audio describers. And we were really, really supported by Roz Chalmers and Andrew Holland in our audio description team here, who, you know, brilliant instigators of thinking about how we train people up, how we get them to deliver audio description, not to a simple space. The Olivier Theatre is large and in itself complicated. And you can't just sort of presume that people know different theatre shapes and so on and so forth. And obviously part of that, one of our key principles in accessibility, is nothing about us without us. So it was also very, very important to us that we had visually impaired people informing this project. And Roz had worked with Eleanor on the Old Vic's production of A Christmas Carol, in which Eleanor performed and sort of put forward Eleanor as VI consultant on the project. So if that's the second part of the conversation, we were like, well, this is good. We've got a young VI person who's going to help inform how this is delivered. And then as conversations continued, it sort of became more and more apparent that, well, why can't Eleanor deliver the audio description? She's a voracious engager with audio description, both in live performance and on television, from what she can speak to that, obviously better than I can. So she understands what good AD sounds like, what information she needs from live performance. She has that sort of young person prism that we talked about earlier. So then we just sort of asked. I think we had a meeting. Eleanor, you can inform me if I'm wrong, but I believe we just sort of in the meeting, yes, we came to a conclusion that we just asked, is this something she would be interested in? She is ever eager to be interested in everything, which is fantastic. And from that, we were like, well, let's commit. So we said, okay, so what we are going to do for the audio described performance of The Witches for the schools groups is have a young visually impaired person audio describe the performance. And then went off, and then we had some long conversations about how we were going to make that happen, because it wasn't necessarily as straightforward as the rest of our AD delivery, which is, I like to think, quite a slick machine at the NT. We sort of understand how delivery works quite well. We are always open for comments and feedback, obviously, if your listeners want to write in or phone up and let us know what they think of it.
Eleanor, were you a fan of Roald Dahl's books, and had you sort of read or gone to see an audio-described performance of The Witches before starting on working on your script for the audio description?
I think The Witches was probably the least. I hadn't gotten into that one quite as much as maybe some of the others, like Matilda, the BFG. I'd listened to the audiobooks. I'd never seen a stage play of many of the others. Matilda a couple of times, but I don't think many other stage plays. I'd listened to the audiobooks of a few. I listened to the audiobook of The Witches, but a very long time ago, when I was probably about 5 or 6, and I'm 12 now, so I didn't really remember the story, but it all brought it back to me when I first went to see The Witches at the National Theatre.
And you audio description script, I think, contained over 400 lines of Braille, which for me as a Braille user, I'm not sure I could deliver 400 lines to the Olivier Theatre audience. Were you working from printed Braille or electronic Braille? Just a bit of a technical geeky question there.
I was working from printed Braille on paper. We're lucky enough to have an embosser at home, so we worked out a way that we could cut it down as much as possible so it wasn't too much under my fingertips. So we had a sort of way of listing it. We did the alphabet, so we did A to Z for each line and then back to A. And as you can imagine, we went over that a few times. So, yeah, Daddy and I just discussed the best way to cut it down as much as possible, I guess.
Yeah, because I think when you're working on, from what I hear from describers, that it's that thing of you write a lot and then your sight's stripping it down to what you can deliver. What's not to say the least, but what, you know, fewer words is probably more, isn't it? I know you probably get that as somebody who's experienced a lot of description as well.
Yeah, we had to cut it down quite a lot because not only were there a few big words, I went through and edited the whole script, Act 1 and Act 2, so that I could, from a child's perspective, I could say, I don't think a child of 8 would understand that word. Maybe we could change it to this word. Or, you know, sometimes I wasn't sure what we could change it to. So I said, look, I don't think we should have this word, but you decide what it should be. And I sent it back to the audio describers, the professional audio describers, and was like, hey, you know, you know what you're doing more than I do.
And from a technical point of view, I know audio describers use a headset mic to be able to hear the live feed of the show and their own voice. Did the technical wizards at the National Theatre do anything technically to help you with delivering your audio description script? Because obviously, like me at the moment, you're reading Braille with your hands, so you haven't really got a hand free to do much else.
Yes. No, of course. So I was wearing a big headset and a microphone sort of near my mouth coming from the right earpiece. And that's the normal setup for an audio describer. There was a feed straight to me from the other audio describer that was in the box with me, Roz Chalmers, so that she could cue me when I had to say my line, because I didn't have any visual cues, obviously. And then when I wanted to go out to the audience so that I could describe what was happening, the technical wizards were amazing and they set up a foot pedal for me. So I pressed down on the foot pedal when I wanted to go out to the audience.
Wow, that's really good of them. That's really handy because it does make life a lot easier. And I believe there was a touch tour prior to the audio describe performance attended. And I think there may have been 2 touch tours. Did you get involved in them and sort of meeting some of the other blind and partially sighted people?
So, yes, there were 2 touch tours. I introduced myself at the beginning of both to just say hi and say, you know, you'll be hearing my voice just so you know who I am and you know what I sound like. You'll be hearing my voice all the way throughout the show. And I hope you find it useful, which I think they did. And I kind of left them to it. I didn't go around and talk to many people, but there were a few children that I knew from different places, because I go to a lot of theatre and I go to a few touch tours and we get to meet the other kids that go. So there were a few that we'd met before, and this was a school's performance, so we didn't really get to see many of the parents. We met some of the teachers, and yeah, it was just really lovely that I got the chance to say hi to everyone so they knew what I sounded like.
And I know, you know, you're an actor, you're a performer, you've been on many stages already, I believe, on the Old Vic stage. But was it nice, in a way, sort of doing something that was making theatre accessible to other blind and partially sighted people, and sort of, in a way, working behind the scenes a little bit?
Oh, it was really lovely, because I know how much audio description means to me. So I just wanted to bring that to other children who maybe haven't had the same experience as me. Maybe they don't watch TV or they don't listen to TV with audio description very much, and maybe they haven't been to the theatre before, and I wanted it to be a nice first experience for them. And my mummy was sitting in the audience, and she had a few kids who were listening to the audio description behind her, and she could hear them laughing at all the right points where they wouldn't have been able to know what was going on without my audio description, which was just really lovely for me to know.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? Because I think that's the whole thing. It's making sure that as blind and partially sighted audience, we laugh at the right moments. And
actually... Yes.
And what sort of feedback have you had from blind and partially sighted people who attended the audio described performance? David, have you had anything at all from people on the day or afterwards?
Well, both. People were really, really infused by it on the day, and you know, we only get snippets from the student age patrons because they're being ushered into coaches and so on and so forth. but there was a really great sense of connection, and then we've had a couple of people email in and send us social media posts about that sense of connection, which really pays to, you know, all of the things that Eleanor brought to it, which is fantastic. So yes, overwhelmingly positive response, which is really, really gratifying to know that the access was there for our patrons.
And if anything sort of coming back to you, Ellen, at all, have you heard from anybody about your audio description? Have you had any feedback at all?
Well, like David said, we've seen a few social media posts which have said, you know, it was amazing to have a child audio describer, and I just hope that I got to, you know, change theatre for some kids. Maybe it was their, like I said, maybe it was their first experience, and I hope it was a good one.
And I wonder now, having done your first audio described performance at the National Theatre, would you like to do more audio described performances at the NT?
Oh, definitely. I was talking to Roz about this, and I said I would love to do more, but I think it would mean more for me to do another children's show rather than an adult or, like, you know, sort of mixed show, because it means more to children if they're sitting there. They're hearing amazing audio describers, but really to them, that person's just another adult. But when they hear a child's voice coming through their headsets, you know, they can kind of relate. And if they know that I'm visually impaired too, they can think, oh, you know, not only is she my age, or, you know, maybe a little bit older or younger than me, but she also knows what it's like to sit here and listen to audio description.
David, is that something you would like to see Eleanor doing, getting involved in more audio described performances at the NT and maybe helping to maybe make some of the NT's offer for young people a little bit more accessible to blind and partially sighted people?
I think this has really set a really interesting precedent for us, and who knows what the future holds. I think a lot of the team who worked on The Witches are taking a very well-deserved rest, but I think there are loads of interesting pieces. One of them is Ben Steinitz, who is the technical wizard who created the pedal and microphone combination that Eleanor used. In development, obviously, we were talking through the other bits and pieces that an audio describer needs, and they often use what's called a cue light, which is a small light indicating when actors are going to be cued. It actually explains itself when you think about it. but of course, it's a visual cue. So now the NT and Ben, we're looking at ensuring that in the future, when we install those cues into different boxes that are used by the technical teams, that it also has an audio component, which really speaks to the big changes that the presence of one VI person can make in a show or in this industry. So yes, I think there's always scope for development developing what we started here. I'm delighted to hear that Eleanor would like to pursue more audio description, though I strongly suspect that she's going to be picked up as an actor for future roles in the future somewhere soon, hopefully. And also that, you know, between Eleanor and those 80 young people who attended, you know, hopefully we are encouraging more people to become future theatre attendees, but also potentially theatre workers, and think about how significant it is and how it can really change the way that we create theatre for the better for a larger group of people when our decisions are informed by the presence of blind and visually impaired people.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Eleanor and David, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about this wonderful audio described performance of The Witches. And thank you, Eleanor, for a brilliant delivery of your audio description.
That's okay. That's my pleasure.